The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 13, 1987 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class occurred during the Chip Rice Festival and was about the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 14, Text 2.
Kakaroti vachalam pangulangayate giringat kripatamahang bande sri gurung dinatadinam. Sri Nara uvacha griheshwavastito rajan kriyakurvan yatochitaha vasudevarpanam yakshad upasita mahamunim.
Translation. Narada Muni replied, "My dear king, those who stay at home as householders must act to earn their livelihood, and instead of trying to enjoy the results of their work themselves, they should offer these results to Krishna Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How to satisfy Vasudeva in this life can be perfectly understood through the association of great devotees of the Lord." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The format for Grihastha householder life should be dedication to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 1, it is said, "Anasita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriyaha." Translation: one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who acts as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life. He is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. End of translation. Prabhupada continues that whether one acts as a brahmachari, grihastha, banaprast, or sannyasi, he must act only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. This should be the principle for everyone's life. Narada Muni has already described the principles of life for brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyasi. And now he is describing how a householder should live. The basic principle is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The science of satisfying the Supreme Lord can be learned as described here. Sakshad upasita mahamunin. The word mahamunin refers to great saintly persons or devotees. Unless one associates with devotees, one cannot learn the science of Vasudeva Arpana, or dedicating one's life to Vasudeva Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In India, the principles of this science were followed strictly. Even 50 years ago, I saw that in the villages of Bengal and the suburbs of Calcutta, people engaged in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam daily, sacred scripture daily, when all their activities ended, or at least in the evening before going to bed. Everyone would hear the sacred Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam classes were held in every village, and thus people had the advantage of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes everything about the aim of life, liberation or salvation. This will be clearly explained in following verses. So, the purpose of human life is the same whether one is a student or a householder or retired or in the renounced order. The goal of life is to go back to home, back to Godhead, to develop love for Godhead. The purpose is not different. Similarly, the basic activities of spiritual life are not different for persons in different ashramas. However, the household ashram has got some specific spiritual, some specific programs which are not existing in the other ashrams. Namely, they can raise a family, They can have a house or some place to live, raise a family. They have the license to, in this way, do certain activities in family life which are not allowed in the other ashramas. Still, Prabhupada says, one must find some time for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is Vedic culture. One should work 8 hours at the most to earn his livelihood, and either in the afternoon or in the evening, a householder should associate with devotees to hear about the incarnations of Krishna and his activities, and thus be gradually liberated from the clutches of Maya. However, instead of finding time to hear about Krishna, the householders, after working hard in offices and factories, find time to go to a restaurant or a club, where instead of hearing about Krishna and his activities, hearing about God, they're very much pleased to hear about the political activities of demons and non-devotees, and then to enjoy sex, women, wine, meat, and this way waste their time. This is not grihastha life. The Krishna conscious movement, however, with its centers all over the world, gives such fallen persons an opportunity to hear about Krishna. So Prabhupada, he thought that the modern materialistic society was lacking in this one aspect. People could have family life, they could have happy life, but instead of having as the entertainment things which are actually against God consciousness, which are detrimental, which are by nature even tending to be demoniac, that instead, husband and wife with children, they could engage in their livelihood, at the same time chant the names of Krishna, hear the pastimes, the lessons from the scriptures, and do some devotional service. Now, here Ganga Mantri and Leela Madhuri, they're serving in the temple as full-time devotees doing their services in serving the public through giving Krishna consciousness in different ways or helping in the functioning. This type of dedicated household life, Prabhupada also appreciated as being the nature of a brahmana. At the same time, whether one is in this situation or whether one is, for instance, in Pandava and Chaitanya Rupa at the present time, they have their employment, their house outside, yet they regularly come to the temple and they perform devotional service both in their home as well as in the temple. During the day they have their jobs where they work, in one is for AT&T and other in a private enterprise. So in this way, they're also showing the other aspect that Prabhupada mentioned here, working during the day and then hearing about Krishna Katha and chanting Hare Krishna in the morning, and then in the evening, before going to bed, hearing some more about Krishna. So, in this way, the center of life should be kept with God in the center, Krishna in the center, so that at the end of life, we can go back to home, back to the spiritual world, back to the kingdom of Godhead. So that, although we're in the material world, husband and wife help each other to keep Krishna in the center, to keep their goal very much focused, even when they have children, that the children may also be trained who they are, what is the purpose of life, what is this world, and what is the spiritual world where God resides, where Krishna resides, and how to achieve liberation or salvation in life. All these things should be taught to the children, not so that they only know the material side of life and they don't know that there is a spiritual side, there is a higher purpose to life, more than just living and trying to gratify whatever demands the senses make of us. Prabhupada said this was the basic difference. The Vedas say there's a difference between human life and animal life. Animal life doesn't have marriage. Marriage is considered a sacrifice. What is the meaning of sacrifice? To voluntarily do something, restricting our activities or limiting our activities or doing a particular activity as an offering for the pleasure of God. So to accept The responsibility of being a husband and wife, that is a sacrifice. In the modern world where people are becoming, in many places, less religious, people don't bother to get married. Why bother? What do you need a piece of paper for? They say so many things like that. Actually, the purpose of marriage is to take God as a witness and to engage cooperatively as husband and wife with the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that one, although living in material life there's going to be happiness, there's going to be suffering. We have to tolerate both. We cannot avoid the happiness, neither one can completely avoid suffering. So one has to learn to tolerate both the different aspects. Suffering and happiness. Of course, nobody thinks about tolerating happiness. Everyone thinks about tolerating or trying to avoid suffering. But for spiritual life, one learns to become gradually equal, both in happiness and distress. One learns not to lose sight of the goal, even though one is experiencing material happiness. And even though there's difficulty, one should not also lose the spiritual perspective on life. So, in taking this responsibility as husband and wife, this is going to be explained later, that the husband sees the wife as being the property of Krishna, of Radha and Krishna. There's a mantra said at the end where the father states that, I have given this daughter, but actually the daughter is not mine. In the real sense, the daughter belongs to God, to Radha and Krishna, and on their behalf, I gave the daughter. So may they bless the daughter and the bridegroom to be have a happy life, and that in this consciousness that the daughter may be protected. Similarly, the bride, the wife, she sees the husband as a representative of Krishna, and the husband is to act as a representative of Guru and Krishna, so that when the wife is serving the husband or assisting the husband in his material life as well as his spiritual activities, she's doing it with the consciousness that I'm serving God, I'm serving Krishna. Because the husband is acting on behalf of Krishna to protect me or to give me guidance or association, similarly, I'm also assisting him with this idea that I'm serving Krishna through the husband. So, in both the regards, both aspects, the bride, the bridegroom, they both keep their mind Krishna conscious. As I mentioned before, that the karmic responsibilities therefore are also unified. So they're considered one unit. Husband and wife now become one. In the Vedas that they're considered as one, and wife is considered one half, and husband is considered one half. Of the two, they call the wife the better half. So, in this way, they don't have a separate interest. They should work with one interest, with one common goal, one common interest, one common cooperation. Of course, two people, they're always going to have difficulties sometimes. Some type of misunderstanding may come up. Even though karmically, through the merit sacrifice, one may be considered one, but mentally we may not always be able to adjust or see that. We may see our own through false ego, think our interest is different from the wife's, and forget, or vice versa. And this way there might be some discussions or some, it's a natural thing. But Srila Prabhupada said that this should be considered like the disagreements amongst little children. Should not be taken seriously. One should take with the higher objective to being Krishna conscious, to being responsible as a husband and wife, as a grihastha couple, and tolerate any kind of difficulties that it tests, as little tests as insignificant matters that don't really count. Of course, at this time we would hope that there'll never be any kind of disagreement or anything, but just for the record, in case that ever does happen, that shouldn't be taken very seriously. According to this, to the Veda custom, the marriage should be until forever, until there shouldn't be separation, until death, either physical or civil. Apart from that, civil death means, of course, sannyas, sometime after the age of 50, and other death, we already know what that is. So, till that, there shouldn't be any separation. husband and wife should be together. This is their specific license, that they can associate with each other, they are friends with each other, they're helpful to each other. Now the Vedas say that a man should respect every woman as a mother, except his wife. The wife he respects as a wife. But the man doesn't look to other women with that type of attitude that one might look as a to a wife, having that type of intimate friendship or intimate relationship in a more of an amorous level. Man will look to other women with respect as a mother. This should be the training. This is so that one can give maximum attention to spiritual life and not be distracted. If we allow the mind to be distracted, then there's no limit to distractions that are there in the material world. So by taking this responsibility, taking a married life, one should take advantage of the situation to try to control the mind and be peaceful within this relationship and use maximum energy to associate with devotees, to serve Krishna, to hear about Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, in addition to the other normal activities that one has to do to survive in the material world, so that at the end of life one can go back to Krishna. This is the basic formula. So to do that, there are certain regulations and certain systems for responsible grihastha life under the guidance of the spiritual master, which one accepts. So therefore, as I mentioned, human life has marriage. Animal life doesn't have marriage. Marriage is man. It's a sacred institution. And so this marriage is accepted by Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the married life, the procreation, with the activities which are done according to the Vedic, not against the Vedic principles, are non-different from Him. So in this way, we wish all a good fortune for the couples, that they can advance in their Krishna consciousness, they can have a peaceful family life. We hope that any children they have will grow to be great contributions to society, to the world as first-class human beings and devotees of Krishna, of God. And we thank all the parents and friends for coming here to encourage the bride and bridegroom and this, the newlyweds and their life of responsibility and for a happy life. We're in the renounced order, so someone may say, why is someone who's a monk or renounced order participating in a marriage ceremony? As mentioned here in the verse, that one who stops lighting fires or doing sacrifices, or one who stops engaging in different activities for the pleasure of Krishna, of God, he's not a real sannyasi. So this is one of the activities which is meant for spiritual advancement for those in the preceding ashrams of life. The brahmachari becomes grihastha. So to encourage people to take this responsibility of vibaha, of marriage, this is one of the sacrifices recommended in the Vedas. So therefore, a sannyasi for helping disciples in advancing in spiritual life, they are prescribed, they may participate in these ceremonies, even though they themselves have already left this stage of life and are no longer, doesn't apply to them personally, but for helping others in the less advanced stage of life, it's certainly recommended to encourage them. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just to bring in focus with our festival which we're going to be having tomorrow. Panihati is famous for its different spiritual festivals, and one of the special features was that Raghava Pandit, one of the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, he used to cook feasts and prasadam for Lord Chaitanya. It's also one of the duties of the grihasthas, is to feed the renounced orders in life. And one of the important aspects to note is that Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti, they were both considered to be very great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, but they were in the Grihastha order of life. Yet they were considered as already liberated souls because of their absorption in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, if one, as a Grihastha, absorbs themselves, in spite of all the distractions that may be there in family life, but they somehow are able to continue keeping their focus on Krishna and serving Krishna, then they're also considered to be on a liberated platform, even while they're in the family life. And that will not be an obstacle for their advancement in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.